I put my back to her and dig into the corner with my sponge. I lift the sponge up above my head so everybody in the room can see how it's covered with green slime and how hard I'm working. Then I bend over and rub harder than ever. But hard as I work and hard as I try to act like I'm not aware of her back there, I can still feel her standing at the door and drilling into my skull till in a minute she's going to break through. Till I'm just about to give up and yell and tell them everything if she don't take those eyes off me. Then she realizes that she's being stared at too, by all the rest of the staff. Just like she's wondering about me, they're wondering about her and what she's planning to do about that redhead back down there in the day room. They're watching to see what she'll say about him, and they don't care anything about some fool Indian on his hands and knees in the corner. They're waiting for her so she quits looking at me and goes and draws a cup of coffee and sits down, stirs sugar in it so careful the spoon never touches the side of the cup. It's the doctor who starts things off. "Now, people, if we can get things rolling." He smiles around at the residents sipping coffee. He's trying not to look at the big nurse. She's sitting there so silent it makes him nervous and fidgety. He grabs out his glasses and puts them on for a look at his watch, goes to winding it while he talks. 15 after. It's past time we got started. "Now, Miss Ratched, as most of you know, called this get-together. She phoned me before the therapeutic community meeting and said that, in her opinion, McMurphy was due to constitute a disturbance on the ward. Ever so intuitive, considering what went on a few minutes ago, don't you think?" He stops winding his watch on account of it's tight enough another twist is going to spray it all over the place. And he sits there smiling at it, drumming the back of his hand with pink little fingers, waiting. Usually, at about this point in the meeting, she'll take over, but she doesn't say anything. "After today," the doctor goes on, "no one can say that this is an ordinary man we're dealing with." "No, certainly not. And he is a disturbing factor, that's obvious. So, as I see it, our course in this discussion is to decide what action to take in dealing with him. I believe the nurse called this meeting, correct me if I'm off base here, Miss Ratched, to talk the situation out and unify the staff's opinion of what should be done about Mr. McMurphy." He gives her a pleading look, but she still doesn't say anything. She's lifted her face toward the ceiling, checking for dirt most likely, and doesn't appear to have heard a thing he's been saying. The doctor turns to the line of residents across the room. All of them got the same leg crossed and coffee cup on the same knee. "You fellows," the doctor says, "I realize you haven't had adequate time to arrive at a proper diagnosis of the patient, but you have had a chance of observing him in action. What do you think?" The question pops their heads up. Cleverly, he's put them on the carpet, too. They all look from him to the big nurse. Some way she has regained all her old power in a few short minutes. Just sitting there, smiling up at the ceiling and not saying anything, she has taken control again and made everyone aware that she's the force in here to be dealt with. If these boys don't play it just right, they're liable to finish their training up in Portland at the Alki Hospital. They begin to fidget around like the doctor.